him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and scattered them in the way. And the multitudes that went before, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee. Here ends the word of God. And on that note, I'd like to tell you my theme for this morning is the King is coming. The King is coming. I left my country some 12 years ago to take up an appointment in another country. And for somebody, and for everybody who lives, a Christian who leaves their country and go into another country, whether for work or for pleasure, and you want to actually go to church, one of the things that actually concerns you most is to find a suitable church where you'll be able to worship. Suitable in terms of what is actually appealing to you, what suits you in terms of finding a church that accepts Jesus as Lord. Because we all know there are so many churches around the world that preach something else different. And one of the very first experiences I had was my very first Palm Sunday out of my country. I was driving to church and I noticed a lot of people carrying palm branches. Well, I didn't understand why they were carrying palm branches, but soon I got to church and I realized why they were all carrying their palm branches. Because there at the entrance of the church, they were selling the palm branches so that you can have the palm in the church to sing and praise God. That came as a shocker to me, because coming from a West African country near the coast, there are palm branches all over the country. So nobody sells palm branches, because if you go to the church, there are palm branches there which is distributed to all the congregation. So it was a culture shock for the very first time to see people selling palm branches. And some of you might recall when I arrived in Goma that I had to come at the last part of the service, I had to come forward and actually sort of like intervene to say, hey, this is Palm Sunday, because even though we had our palm branches, but it was basically like a sort of a decoration. Because for a Sunday like today, all churches that actually celebrate Palm Sunday, they will all have their branches, they all have their palm branches, and they will be waving all of it in the songs and in the psalms and in the lesson. But irrespective of however you celebrate Palm Sunday, irrespective of how you actually choose to use your palms, there is one word that for every church that celebrates Palm Sunday, one word that you will hear is that word called Hosanna. It's the word called Hosanna. But Hosanna is one of the words we've used so much in tradition that although it is holy and religious, we've used it so many times that we've used it in a way that is not authentic to what the word Hosanna really means. Now, this is going to come as a shock to you, as it did to me when I first discovered what the meaning of Hosanna was. Because I tell you for one, we haven't sang that song today, but there's this song that you sing, I will sing Hosanna. I love that song. And you all know, like, we sing singing around the throne of glory, we all dancing around. I love that song, Hosanna. So when I first saw, I read, like, why are they singing Hosanna when the meaning of Hosanna is a little bit different from what they are singing? So I was a little bit shocked. And I was like, no, this can't be right. Let me investigate further. And you can imagine the relief I got when I found out that Hosanna has two translations. Hosanna has the modern interpretation and the ancient interpretation. I will start with the ancient interpretation. The ancient interpretation of the word Hosanna is save us. The word Hosanna means save us. And Hosanna is not a proper noun, neither a pronoun. So Hosanna cannot be associated to a thing, because Hosanna is not a you. So I was confused. But in the modern translation, they changed from an improper noun to a proper noun and associated Hosanna to something of a mark of respect to somebody who saves. So I was so happy when I discovered this. Okay, that's the reason why Hosanna is referred to Jesus, because at that time, Jesus was referred to as a savior. But if you go back to the ancient translation of the word Hosanna, it resonates exactly as how the text is put, because the people's cry of Hosanna was different from what the cry you and I are saying right now. Hosanna, in the sense of the text, was a political cry. It was a petition, because if you hear anybody saying, help me or save me, that means they are in distress. So the people that received Jesus, when they were shouting Hosanna, the cry of Hosanna to Jesus was for Jesus to save them from the oppression of Roman occupation in Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem at that time was being occupied by the Romans. Save us, Jesus. Save us, Jesus. But how wrong were the people? They did not get exactly why Jesus had come. And as Christians, we have to be careful, because the expectation of other people can lead you to go astray from what God has actually called you from. But we are thankful that Jesus knew what he's calling, and he knew that he has come not to interfere with their political ambition, but to do the work that God has actually sent him. Amen? So, the word Hosanna is an adoration that we use nowadays in praising God. So when the people were shouting that the king is coming, so they put all, they were all in preparation to receive the king, because the idea of them that Jesus was coming to save them from Roman oppression. So the question you got to ask this morning, what is Palm Sunday? What is Palm Sunday? As a day like today, all churches over the world that are celebrating Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is very important in the Christian calendar, because it's the end of Lent and the beginning of what we now know as Holy Week. Holy Week. Holy Week is the period where we have to take a moment and sit back and reflect about the steps, the last few steps of Jesus, the last few moments Jesus made on earth before he went to the cross. Monday, Jesus shows up in the temple, and in utter disgust, he flips over the table and runs the money changers away of what the destruction they were doing in the temple, with all the gambling, with all the illegal things they were doing in the temple, and he chased them all away. And that's the day the Pharisees, the elders of the church, decided that we've got to do something about this Jesus. We've got to do something about this Jesus. Tuesday, he shows up again at the same temple, and this time he sits with the congregation, sits with the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders of the church, and they had a heated debate about the word of God. And if you read Matthew 23, Jesus continually calls them hypocrites. Jesus continually calls them hypocrites. And that is the day the Pharisees and the elders of the church made the decision that they contracted Judas to actually betray Jesus. They contracted Judas to actually betray Jesus. Wednesday, a quiet day, Jesus spends his time praying. On Thursday, he gathered all his disciples, and they went to an upper room to celebrate the feast of the Passover, which we now know as Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. And at that moment, after the celebration of the feast, that's when Jesus turned to his disciples and said, guys, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. And before Peter started jumping over to declare his allegiance, Jesus turned over to Peter and said, hey, before the clock crows 3 times, you are going to deny me. And all of you rest of the disciples, before you all start getting holy and righteous, you are all going to run away from me
when I need you the most.
And on that very night, whilst Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, a band of Roman soldiers showed up to arrest Jesus, and led by, guess who? Judas. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Friday, early Friday morning, started the series of unlawful trials for Jesus. From Caiaphas, the high priest, onto Pilate, onto Herod, and back to Caiaphas, they tried Jesus unlawfully. And at the end of it all, Pilate could not make a decision because he was afraid. Pilate could not make a decision because he was afraid of his position. He took Jesus back to the crowd and asked for the crowd to actually make a condemnation on Jesus. And Jesus was condemned. That same Friday, Jesus was condemned. Remember, Jesus was crucified by 9 a.m. He was on the cross by 9 a.m. By 3 p.m., he was dead. By 6 p.m., he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But hold on. Saturday was coming. Saturday was a quiet day. Quiet day in the terms of people were coming to terms with what had happened. Cheers, from the cheers to jeers to tears. Jesus was buried. Jesus was buried. The disciples had abandoned him. Everybody had scattered. His followers had already scattered. This was not the way it was supposed to be. But hold on for Sunday morning. Because early Sunday morning, when the women were on the way to anoint the body of Jesus, they bumped into the angels. And the angels asked them a question that I love so much. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, for he is risen, just as he told you he would. And that news became the greatest news every human being has ever had. Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen? And that moment, from what happened from Sunday today, up to Monday, to Tuesday, to Wednesday, to Thursday, to Friday, to Saturday, and Sunday. All what happened, all started from today, Palm Sunday. All started today, Palm Sunday. Because if Jesus did not die, we would not call ourselves Christians. Jesus had to make up his mind a day like today to say, I am going to Jerusalem. I am going to Jerusalem. Because for Jesus to go to the cross, he had to go to Jerusalem. If he had not gone to Jerusalem, he would not have gone to the cross. If he had not gone to the cross, he would not have died and be buried. And if he had not died and be buried, there's no way he would have resurrected. And if Jesus had not resurrected, we would not call ourselves Christian. Because Christian, that's what holds us together as the Christian, because we serve a God who lived here on earth, he died, and he was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. That's why we can all celebrate that we serve a living God. Amen? Jesus' ministry started in the provinces. Jesus started preaching in the provinces. Now, you all remember, like, for example, Jesus started preaching in Lubumbashi. From Lubumbashi, he came down to Goma. From Goma, he went to Bukavu. From Bukavu, he went to Beni. He went to Bunia, North Kivu, South Kivu, Ituri province. See, I know some of my Congolese geography. So he preached in those locations. And at the end of that, he made up his mind, now I am going to Kinshasa. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And on the road to Jerusalem, he told his disciples that, listen, this is not a feast that we are going to celebrate, but I'm going to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be condemned. I'm going to be killed, crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to resurrect. It was not a field trip they were going to, but everybody was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. Everybody was going to Kinshasa to celebrate the feast of the Passover. So you can imagine all the other provinces were going to congregate in Jerusalem. You can imagine the kind of tension, traffic jam, roadblocks. It was congested. And off, to make matters worse, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, the crowd started singing his name, that because they realized that Jesus had come to save them. That is the reason why they cut palm branches and they started waving palm branches. Because in the olden days, palm branches signified a cry of victory. Palm branches signified victory. So they laid palm branches, the women took off their garments and spread it on the road so that Jesus could actually walk on this garment, even though Jesus was riding a donkey. So the people were there. They were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Remember now, this was not the crowd that was present when Jesus was preaching in the provinces. This was a crowd that all they knew was they had what Jesus was doing. This was not the crowd that witnessed Jesus when he preached the sermon on the mountain. All the crowd had was that Jesus could heal. Jesus turned water into wine. This was not the crowd that was present when Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. All they had was, there is somebody called Jesus who turned water into wine. Now, how do I know that? The Bible tells us that after all this commotion, and the people, some of them were, because they all they had was rumors, and the people, some of them shouted, "Who's that? Who is that?" And the response of the crowd tells you that they didn't know who Jesus really was. What they said was, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They were right, they were wrong. Yes, Jesus, his name was Jesus. Yes, he was from Nazareth. Yes, Nazareth is from Galilee. But no, Jesus was not a prophet. Jesus is not a prophet. And that's how you know they didn't really know who Jesus was. Because if they had followed Jesus, if they had followed Jesus and knew about Jesus, when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened and the dove descended and God spoke and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," they will know that Jesus was more than a prophet. If they were there when Jesus cast out the legions of demons and the demons said, "Thou art a Christ," they would know that Jesus is more than a prophet. If they were there when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter had a revelation from God and Peter declared that "You are the Christ, Son of the living God," they would know that Jesus is more than a prophet. Amen? So they didn't know who Jesus was. So as a day like today, I come to you with a prophetic declaration that the King is coming. The King is coming. And when the King comes, there will be no more sorrow. When the King comes, there will be no more shouting. When the King comes, there will be no more sorrow. There is a song that I like very much that we used to sing when we were kids. "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King." And guess what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Jesus is coming. And at a day like today, when all the world is mixed up with all the virus and all the pandemic in the world, unbelievers are shouting, "Jesus, come and save us." But you and I who follow Jesus, we know that Jesus is not only here to save us. Jesus is not coming here to save us, but Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He is what we say, the real deal. Because if you know that Jesus is the real deal, you're not going to start worrying. You're not going to start panicking. Because we believe that the Bible tells us that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Why? Because you and I know what Jesus has done for you in the past. You and I know what Jesus has done for you in the past. And if you know what Jesus did for you in the past, you will move on with your life with the knowledge that I serve a God who covers me everywhere I go. I serve a God who protects me everywhere I go. I serve a God who shelters me where I go. So all I'm going to do is just keep on praising him and say, hallelujah, what a savior we have in Jesus. Amen. 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 So remember, as the hymn says, when upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is dust, that's one thing you got to do. Just count your blessings. Name them one by one, one by one, and you will see what the Lord has done. We are not like these people in Jerusalem. We are not like those people because you and I have been through things. God has protected us from Ebola days. God covered us. All the other sicknesses here in Goma, in DRC, God covered us. And the rest of the world, you have your own individual testimonies of moments where God protected you because you know you serve the living God. And it is with that assurance that we declare that that same God who protected you from Ebola, that same God who protected you from sicknesses, that same God who protected you all the days of your life, that same Jehovah God is going to cover you in these moments. That same God is going to guide and shield you because we have a Jesus who is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. And let all the earth rejoice and say, Hosanna, the King is coming. Amen. If you have been blessed this morning, just bow down your heads wherever you are, wherever you're doing, and just reflect that it could have been worse. Somebody told me the other day that I'm waiting for the pastor who is going to, I'm looking for that pastor who told me that 2020 is going to be my year. And I responded to that person and said, you are not dead yet, right? And he said, no, I'm alive. I said, then 2020 is indeed your year. Because some of us, our friends, have parted ways already. It's just the fourth month of the year. But our own case, it's not so, because we serve a Savior who is there to guide and protect us. Until our time will come, we will keep on praising God. We'll keep on rejoicing. So whatever you do in this moment, just take a moment back and reflect the steps that Jesus made towards the cross. This week coming, when as we celebrate Holy Week, sit in your houses or in your quiet places and remember how Jesus wrote the steps, how he went to the cross for only one reason, so that you and I will be redeemed from sin. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the way you've used me this morning to preach your gospel. And I pray that these words will grow deep roots in our hearts. This word will be a foundation on which we believe that you are the Christ, Son of the living God. And as you go into the cross this week to take away all our sins, to take away all our blemish, we want to walk with you, knowing fully well that early Sunday morning, you will rise up triumphantly and we will rejoice and praise your name. Thank you, Father, once more. And be with your people wherever they are listening at this moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and let's all God's children say, amen. Thank you.